There'll be ample time to fellowship together after the service. We tend to have teas and coffee here, and there will be more fellowshipping together after the service. But if today is your first time of being with us in this church, then I want to take this opportunity to welcome you and assure you that this is a home where everyone is welcome. Despite your background, you are welcome. So long as you have followed the call of Jesus Christ, I don't know the means of which you've come today, but I really want to extend a warm welcome to you, that you are valuable. Amen. Without much ado, before I take the word, I will call upon my beloved wife to come and read the main text for me, if you don't mind, please. What?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 40 to the end. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need.
Sorry, don't feel alarmed. We are not going to ask you to go and sell your Bentley for the church. Let me just put it out there to you, please.
Yeah, 40 says, so continue daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. Lord, thank you for the opportunity given us even to be called your children. And Father, Lord, I pray that you will purify our hearts and let your word gain ascendancy in us, Lord. We pray that your word will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent to us. And Lord, we pray, bringing Paul before you, that Father, Lord, you will speak through your servant, Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, all that he says and does will be ordered by your governance. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. We are blessed with two pregnant ladies in this church. So very soon, Phil is going to be a granddad of three children. His own one, and Emily and Martha. Oh, you can't say Phil is going to be a granddad because he is still young. Paul, be careful, because he is your supervisor, so you can't call him old yet, please. It might be dangerous. Right, we have this image, and there is a common proverb that says, "Birds of the same feather flock together." It means that people who are similar in nature or share similar interests tend to spend time together. It's just natural. It's often used to convey the idea that those with common characteristics or behaviors will naturally form groups or be drawn to one another. So if you see that in the church, please don't be alarmed. You are still part of the team. So it was in the early church. Men and women had traveled all over the world to converge in Jerusalem for annual feast. People from Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the part of Libya adjoining Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. So, all over the world, they have gathered in Jerusalem. But the normal or the usual feast, celebration, or season became unusual on this very occasion. The super happened in the natural. Why am I saying this? Because something strange happened at the gathering of some 120 people. They had gathered in a hall somewhere, and the hall is called the upper room. And they were all in one expectation, one accord, expecting the Holy Spirit. They said their master promised them. So while they were gathered, all of a sudden, a sound. A sound shook the house in which they were gathered. Like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house. Then all the 120, please, the scriptures is so clear on that. All of them were filled with Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in an unknown tongues. And this wasn't a discrete experience. It wasn't a quiet experience. How do I know that? Because the people who had traveled all over the world to meet in Jerusalem, they heard the sound. And the sound drew them to this place where the 120 were gathered. And when they got there, they heard them babbling, speaking in an unknown tongue. Yet, every representative of all countries could hear them declaring the wonderful works of God in their own local dialect. They asked, "Aren't these the Galileans? How come we can hear Mandarin in the words that they are speaking? How come we can hear Chi? How come we can hear all our languages in the language that they are speaking?" They were amazed and perplexed. And so one of the 120 men saw them. Whilst they were perplexed, these people were perplexed, there were other people as well standing by, mocking them, saying, "Look at them. These guys are booze." Whenever a real miracle happens, you would get some people to believe. But I can assure you, you will get some people who will discard it completely, that this is fake. So they were standing there, mocking these people, babbling in an unknown tongue, that they are drunk. So the leader of the 120, his name happened to be Peter. He stood up. Mind you, this person, Peter, once upon a time, he was so timid. Even a girl, little girl, queried, posed a question to him. And he ran off as if a dog who pulls their tail. I don't know if you've met two dogs, one strong and then the other one is timid. The one who is timid will try and put the tail behind them and then run away. He was so timid. But on this occasion, the unusual happened within the usual. So he was able to stand and scream, shout at them, address these mockers. Hey, guys, these people are not drunk as you suppose them to be. But what you are experiencing is a promise by the prophet. It was prophesied by this prophet Joel 2:28 that in the last days the Lord will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And the operative word here is all flesh. Irrespective of your age, irrespective of where you come from, all flesh. And so what you are experiencing is not, is the real deal, a miracle, something that has happened, all because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one that you lawlessly killed, tortured. You took his life from him. You did. And with many words, Peter addressed them, and they were convicted from the heart. They said, Peter, so then what must we do? And Peter told them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift, the promise. This thing that we are experiencing, you too will experience it. And because of that, a new community all of a sudden formed. This community, people had come all from all over the world. But because of the common experience, and because of the common man that they had surrendered their life to, Jesus Christ, the Chinese was able to sit and eat with the Ghanaian, to share fellowship, heart. You are my brother, and I stand with you. A fresh community, all of a sudden, sprang forth. The community was so strong. They did great things and grew exponentially. And the reason why this was so is that they were devoted to one another. They were devoted to one another. They had things in common. They were speaking one language, not in a literal sense, but their hearts were connected because one man had set each one of them free, and he had drawn them to his family. They were devoted. in so many aspects. But this morning, I want to pick quickly four areas that they were devoted to. They were devoted to four pillars of activities. Now, pillar one. They devoted themselves to learning scriptures because they understood from the apostles that the word of God is only the word of God that guides our lives. The word of God is food. You can have a special day where you have enjoyed a very delicious food. But if you don't continue to eat, you grow lean. One occasion of a very good food cannot sustain you for the rest of your life. Neither can it sustain me. This community understood that. And so they will search the scriptures. They will learn. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist declares. They were willing to heed to a sound doctrine. Because in that, they will save themselves and whoever listens to them. And this is referenced in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul admonished Timothy and told him, "Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Be careful. There are so many school of thoughts going about in this world, especially in the time that we live in. It's so scary that men standing in the pulpit are even compromising the word of God. And if you don't know your scriptures, you'll be tossed about by any form of doctrine." This community wanted to be grounded in the faith that they had subscribed to. Paul told Timothy, "Watch your life and your doctrine. Please persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." They also learned that the word of God is a powerful weapon. And Jeremiah attests to that. The Lord says, "Is not my word like fire? It is like hammer that breaks the rock into pieces." Is there anything challenge in your life at the moment that you're going through? I want to admonish you to sit down, get the scriptures, open them. If you don't understand it, our Pastor Phil is so helpful. Just throw any theological questions his way. He's a true father. He will find time to explain to you. Not only himself, we have Pastor Isaac, the leaders, and I thank God that I belong to this church. Men of substance. They don't gloss over the word, but they speak the word in truth. And if you're here, you are not joined to any house fellowship, I want to encourage you, because it's a setting where you can really scrutinize scriptures and learn and develop from there, because that was what the early church was doing. And they devoted themselves to the second thing, fellowshipping together. There is something so powerful that me spending time with you on a table and breaking bread, eating, talking from heart to heart, connecting with you. I can meet someone and tell him, I like you. But I can meet someone too and say, brother, I really like you. That's two different things. I connect my spirit with him. He's my brother. So it's not just lip service. We are encouraged in this church to connect, to make everyone feel welcome. Hebrews says something. It says, not giving up. We should not give up meeting together, as some of you in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We are living in a very, very dark times. If I think to myself that I am going to survive in isolation, my Christian walk, then I am lying to myself. And if you think you can survive the pressures in this world, you are kidding yourself, my sister, my brother. You need me, I need you. Pillar number three, they devoted themselves to breaking of bread, which encompasses what we have done today, sharing in the Lord's Supper. That was beautiful. I was really messed up whilst I was behind the drums. I sense God's presence when brothers and sisters, with our hearts linked together, sharing the body of Christ together, sharing the blood of Jesus Christ together. As a matter of fact, we are commanded to do so. We are commanded to do so. And we have to do that in remembrance of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. You may not understand why sometimes I am so passionate in the things of God. And I'll tell you, my life got to a point where I have no right to stand before you to share the word of God. The grace of God has found me. And so no human, no devil, no angel can talk me out of this. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. This thing that we do is beyond just a church, beyond just a gathering. This is a life, Jesus Christ, his own life. The early church understood this. They devoted themselves. None of them were dropped out. They walked together. They stood together. They did together. And the fourth pillar that they devoted themselves to, the other three would never have been had been possible had it not been the fourth one. That is, they prayed together. They prayed together. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. So, as we are learning today, that we need to devote ourselves together in fellowship, together in studying the Word of God, together in breaking of bread, and together in prayer. I want to quickly take this moment to highlight Debs announced this event, Watoto. But I want to say in person, if you haven't booked your ticket, please do so. Don't regard it as just a concert. It's an outreach event. We are using it to invite people for them to come and encounter Jesus Christ. So I want to really welcome you to patronize this event, if that's okay. So I'm going to summarize what we have spoken today. Last week, our brother, Jamie, Pastor Jamie, brought the understanding that when the day of Pentecost came, it blessed the early church with the presence of God. It blessed the early church with one purpose, with purpose. And it blessed the early church with power. They are not different from us. It is the same Jesus Christ that we are calling. It is the same faith that we have placed in Christ. I want to see what happened in the early church, in this church. And I'm sure our beloved pastor, Phil, wants to see that. All the leadership, we want to see, we want to encounter the reality of Jesus Christ. The miracle that happened, it can happen here. The miracles that happened, it can happen here. It can happen here. Now, as a result of the church, early church, devoted themselves to these four pillars of activities, the result was reverence of God came in the community. Because of their devotion to these four pillars, signs and wonders were accomplished through this community. They gained favor with God. And not only that, even the people that surrounded them felt, no, I want this. I want this. I want to belong. I want to belong. They gained favor with them. And as a result, the church grew exponentially. Most of all, King Jesus was glorified. The question is, are we going to devote ourselves to these four pillars? I want to welcome you in your spirit, in your heart. We belong to something great. We are not in the minority. And so we should not behave as if we are the minority. The host of heaven is with us. Let's pray. For I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise that will dwell in this land by my spirit and will glorify my precious name. The chorus goes, build your church, Lord. Make us one, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. Father, we thank you for your word. All you require of us is a willing heart to heed and to draw closer to you. As a church, Father, we lay our hearts bare in your very presence, Lord Jesus Christ. May the reality of encountering Jesus be experienced with us one more time. We love you, Jesus. Thank you.